الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال جل وعلا في آية أخرى: لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون له هوى متبع، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وذكر هذا الحديث إمام الترمذي في سننه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We give thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal for this great opportunity Allah has allowed us together on a very great and noble purpose. And as per the instructions of the Mashayikh, some will sit and listen to benefit and some will have to sit to take benefits for themselves. So it is upon the instruction of Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid that I will sit a few minutes inshaAllah so that I can benefit myself firstly. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq and the reality to bring alive what has been said in all these majalis in this weekend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with sharhul qulub. May Allah open our hearts and our chest, that we may receive the anwarat, the barakat and the fadail that are descending in immense amount in these programs. Just as a spiritual etiquette before we begin, especially for those mutalliqeen of the mashayikh that are in present, and those murideen who are present in these majalis of their mashayikh, and even those who have just attended these gatherings, it has not to do with the knowledge, it has not to do with the akhbar, with information, it has very little to do with this. So let us not deceive ourselves and come and sit in these programs and simply listen to knowledge and write it down. We need to sit in these programs with our qalb, our heart open. And let us make this intention to Allah Azza wa Jal, because this intention will be a form of a dua. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Rahim and Kareem. Allah will not reject our dua. When we come to these majalis, let us have our qalb so open that, oh Allah, the anwarat, the fuyudat, the barakat, the fadail that are descending on the mashayikh, that are descending on these gatherings, that are descending on the ahlullah, oh Allah, bless my heart that I may be receiving from it. And perchance it will happen that we will come to these gatherings, we will hear a lot of things and we will forget it. And we will even feel a sense of confusion at times, a sense of loss, a level that I'm inadequate. I went to the program, I attended Hazrat's Majlis, but other than Big Papa, I couldn't remember anything. And I can't, la yustahbar al ilm, my mind has not capacity. I can't remember. I can't quote. I've forgotten. Alhamdulillah. When you eat food, you don't remember last week what you ate, but the food done its job. We are coming here, these are spiritual gatherings, ruhaniya. It is for the qalb, So let us take part in these gatherings from the qalb, from the heart. Open it up. Make intention. Few minutes. Niyah. Just few minutes. That, oh Allah, I'm here, oh Allah. I'm present, oh Allah. Oh Allah, I'm desirous, oh Allah. I need this, oh Allah. And be in the set a stage of faqr. You need to be in such a state of need that, oh Allah, the people around me, they may not be in need. Oh Allah, I'm such in need that I can't make it past this lamha, this moment, oh Allah, until my heart gets that sirab, until, oh Allah, you open my qalb that it receives this noon. Beg Allah. And this is not the advice of me, it's not the advice of Mawlana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi. This was the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aftah masamiya qalbi li dhikrik. Oh Allah, you open up the pores of my heart via your dhikr. So that this heart, this qalb, which is a living entity in the human being, which is a forgotten entity, it's a living entity within the insan. It's amazing this topic. Ibn Hajar Rajab, alhamdulillah rahimahullah, he wrote, we don't want to go in a scholarly debate now. He wrote, he said, that there's an entire debate in Islam that where does intellect lie? Does it lie in the mind or does it lie in the heart? Western education says that knowledge simply lies in the mind. Recently, cardiologists have proved that every organ in the body receives its signal from the mind except for the heart. The heart sends its own communication to the brain. Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah spoke about this qalb in the Quran, Allah didn't say a simple entity of blood that's formed together and that is pumping blood every moment. Allah said, Fu'ad, there's an element in this body. It has a inner recesses. This element has a capacity to receive, to push out, and itself can think. That very element, the qalb, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, إِنَّهُ وَالْمُوطِنُ الْإِيمَانِ. It is the city, it is the footstool upon which iman rests. Allah Azza wa Jal didn't just choose anywhere. Allah put it in the qalb. This is the place of the heart, a place of the nur of Allah. So when we sit in these gatherings, even if we simply make amal on this one hadith, Allahumma aftah masamiya qalbi li dhikrik, and we make the simple dua before the program, wallah, you will feel it. We do not chase feelings. You will experience it. You will see it in your life, that the nur of Allah Azza wa Jal will start entering your heart. And when that nur enters your heart, you will disseminate from these programs. You will be in a moment of khalwa. La yara al-insan. People will not be there to look at you. Your father will not be there. Your mother will not be there. And it will be you and Allah, and shaitan will be influencing you at that time. Time and again you will hear people say, Mawlana, there was nothing. I didn't even think about Allah. I was not even having ihsan in that moment. I didn't not do the sin because of Allah. Something just... It disturbed me inside, and that this nature of disturbance removed me from that. That was the nur of iman. That was the nur of Allah Azza wa Jal that entered your heart, that was sitting there. It was dormant, because when you are in another gathering with many nur, you don't see light from light. But when you go into a majlis of darkness, as Mawlana mashallah, and Allah reward Mawlana, I love listening to Mawlana's talks. When Mawlana speaks about this ulama, we feel that we didn't study. You know, when Mawlana explains this matter, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has used many of these ulama to bring these understandings to us. We are living in an age of darkness. We are living in an age of deception. We are living in an age where there is something the eye sees and something that the eye does not see. But to our amazement, that is the very way Allah created us. وَظَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَظَاطِنَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla in Quran al-Kareem clearly makes this line. Allah distinguishes it. That, oh insan, there is the zahir, that which your eye can see. Hawasul khamsa, your ears can hear, your hands can touch, your mind can fathom. All of that is the zahir. Even the mind is included. I can see it, I can hear it, I can understand it. There is that faculty in life. I will make my salah, it has the zahir. I will make wudu, there is the zahir, there is the outward. I will live in my family, there is the zahir, there is the outward. But Allah Azza wa Jal has created with every outward and inward condition. If we have to summarize the problems of today's time, they say this is a youth program, mashallah. Subhanallah, when we see the caliber of certain people sitting here, Allahu Akbar, we are here to benefit. We are living in an era, if we have to summarize it, this is what it is.
We have looked to the zahir, we have applied ourselves to the zahir. If you study a person's life today, he gets up in the morning. He may even make qada of Salatul Fajr. But the first thought that gets in his mind when I get up in the morning, am I late for work? Because the zahir, I need the money. Then the second thing he does, he looks for the toothbrush. And he ensures that there's some beautiful toothpaste. I want the Colgate whitening one. Again, zahir, because I need to brush my teeth, which is good. If the niyyah was to cleanse the mouth, to not inflict harm on people, mashallah, what an amazing thing. But we're worried about brushing our teeth, because we want to take the unnatural state of our mouth. Our mouth is not supposed to be sparkling white. That was the propaganda of the West. Now, every day we're checking. No, teeth is not there. Zahir. Why? Because the people can see. May Allah, what He wants from this mouth, I don't know. My Allah has told me that I will speak one lie and the stench will come of the mouth. That Malaika will not come to me in kilometers, they will stay away from me. But no problem, that is not an issue. I'm shining my teeth and then I'll put the toothbrush down. And then I will take out some cream for the zahir. I will see my face got one pimple. That is the calamity of today. There's a pimple, I need to go to the dermatologist. What's happening, my friend? There are people dying without food. No, this pimple, it could be acne. We don't know what's happening. You know, I got to get married in the future. You know, youngsters, subhanAllah, that's a volcano. You know, it's a natural catastrophe. Tsunami is one side, volcanoes, hurricanes is one side. When that volcano comes on my face, again, to another matter, because love, we know the zahir of love. We don't know the batin of love. We don't know how to love. The West has given us an understanding of love, and they told us for love to happen in a marriage, for you to be happy in a marriage, for you to have a successful wife in your life, you need to look in a particular way, you need to talk in a particular way, you need to think in a particular way. But everything is only to do with the zahir. So the entire world, the entire life, now the guy puts on the screens, and that's not sufficient. Now he has hair, now he's worried about the next man, so he will cut two lengths. He will disobey the Nabi of Allah. He'll get the curse of the Nabi of Allah. But he's worried that his hair mustn't look disheveled in the eyes of the people. The zahir. Then he will take a gel. And he will say, don't worry about the fatwa. That this gel has now insulated my hair. That my wudu will not be accepted. That my connection between me and Allah will break. That the person who breaks his salah in his life is broken, he's tantamount to break his iman. I won't concern myself with that matter. What I will do, I will put the gel in such a way that the hair must not shake. It must be like blades. When I walk in the street, it must cut the heart of people, you know. Oh, what's happening? The zahir, this is the outward, what the eye sees. And as long as they can see, as long as they can see, and I know people are seeing the zahir, I will rotate my entire day in my life. I will sacrifice everything inside because only my Allah is looking at that. So there is two systems in this entire era we are living. The entire education system has been designed to blind you from the batin and to give you an understanding of the zahir. You need a degree, and only with a degree will you earn rizq. You will only be safe in a security. You will have what you call economical, financial security in your life with this degree. So I will sacrifice iman. I will involve myself in zina. I will do all of that because with this degree, tomorrow I can walk in someone's house and I can say, give me your daughter in marriage. Because this degree says, when I'm a captain, when I fly in the sky, 180k cash falls in my pocket a month, starting salary. You know, in the next few years' time, if I get to SAA network and I'm a top captain, I'll be doing 3 bars a year. So now that is what I need to the volume, what I can see with the eye. If we want to Allah, if we want to get to Allah, we are here in a khanqah, we are here in islahi majlis. That is why I'm not even going to discuss the fiqh of the zahir. We are going to discuss the fiqh of the batin. We need to come in these majalis with our qalb open. Our mindset is to change from the zahir into the batin. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Many of us, alhamdulillah, we intended to wear the imama. But now when we time the imama, we're worried about the zahir, the way that. But if we late for the talk, we're not worried about that. Even in the sunnah, even in the application of the deen, it's the zahir.
Allah Azza wa Jal speaks in the Quran. Allah brings Allah's insan to this understanding, in this reality. وَضَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. There is an internal state of this human being. And this internal state, this is the important state. So when Alim asked me once, so what is the dalil and the proof that Allah Azza wa Jal has given more emphasis on the batin and the internal state over the zahir? I quoted him a narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, comes in Bukhari in many narrations. When you ask Tabi'een that ma hiya al-awsaf al-ummul mu'mineen, can you describe us the mother of all believers? They said she was a woman, ghafilat, completely ignorant, but not what you and I understand of ignorant, completely ignorant of the zahir of this world. Alimat, but internally she was the most knowledgeable in the entire world of everything inside. The zahir, it needs to wait, it's in its place. Yes, there's nothing wrong with the right niyyah to focus on the face, to focus on the hair in the correct way, to focus on a person's clothes in the right way, alhamdulillah. But there is a second dimension to this human being. And understand something, we forget, it is this dimension that makes us insan. Walana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, he said a statement when I was a youngster. I heard it from my father, being also in tasawwuf, giving majalis. And I didn't understand what this Hakim ul-Ummah does. Walana Ashraf Ali Thani, I said, why is he saying this statement? He said, agar tumhe doctor banna, mere paas na aana. Agar tumhe engineer banna, to kaalizam mein jao. Lekin agar tumhe insaan banna, to yehi aaja. If you want to become a doctor, don't come by me. You're wasting your time. I have not studied the tib of the human being. I do not know the anatomy of the human being. The physical anatomy. Go to the college. You want to become an engineer? I don't know the dimensions of construction. Go to the university. They will give you the geometry and the mathematical equation. But if you want to become insan, you want to become a human being, then come by me. And this is what these majalis have been put into place. Now my time is very constricted. Nevertheless, this was an introduction to today's talk. So I don't think we'll have any much little time, but I will just wrap up. This focus of the batin, how important is it? I'm just going to give you one dalil. Not that you are in need of a dalil, but it gives you wadah, it gives you a deeper understanding. How much emphasis did the Nabi of Allah put onto this batin? How much emphasis? Because many a times we are caught in one trap of shaitan. And Allah forgive us. Ulama. People who we understand to be ulama. People who we see fatwas coming up are caught in this very trap. I'm giving you the trap. I'm showing you. I'll give you the design of the trap. The trap is very simple. What is the need for me to make islah? Look, I maybe only have one or two sins left in my life. I lift up my hands every day and I will make dua to Allah. It's okay, I'm getting there. The rest of insan is dying in ghafla. They have forgotten Allah. I'm doing something. I'm in the Islahi Jalsa, alhamdulillah. My parents, where are they? As Mona said, they may be doing some work with Big Papa. I'm not there. I'm here. So this trap of shaitan, it will not allow you to make your Islah. Now I will show you how much attention the Nabi of Allah has put on small matters, not big matters. On small matters. And wallah, if it was not the amal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have doubt if people would have said that that amal is the amal of an extremist. If it was none other than Sayyidul Qawlain al-Thaqalain, Habibuna al-A'zam sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he done it, any other human being had to do it, we would say an extremist. For something so small, extremist. And the Nabi of Allah went so far in the application of tazkiyah in this particular incident I'm going to narrate to you. He went so far that Sahaba, like Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, that we ourselves began to start to think in our minds, that if the Nabi of Allah has to start going on ru'as for the lamam, lamam means small things, we will never be saved. The Nabi of Allah will, if he has to start critically analyzing us, going through this man, one small issue and that level of tazkiyah. But the Nabi of Allah was Rahimun Kareem. He was soft.
He done it one or two times in his life. Why? تَعْلِيمًا لِهَذَا الْأُمَّةِ, to teach this ummah that do not take the amr of the batin as something to be liked. What is this narration? Most of us know it. Comes in Riyad al-Salihin. It comes in Kitab al-Tawbah. It is known in Tawil al-Ahadith, one of the lengthiest of Ahadith. It is the incident of Ka'ab ibn Malik. Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention in the Quran,
وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَظَنُّوا أَنْ لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا.
Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed ayat in the Quran for this incident. It was so severe, the islah in this incident, that Allah Azza wa Jalla intervened and revealed ayat. Ka'ab ibn Malik was a youngster. They said it's a youth program. He was in the prime of his youth. In Tabarani, there's another narration that explains on the same narration. There's one very famous narration. Everybody quotes from two books of hadith. In Tabarani, there's another narration that his wife says that my husband, and she didn't say this, I'm giving it in simple English. He was there. He had the six pack, he was there. For me, he was there. Because for us, you know, we there, we've got six packs, we've got the muscles. He was young, he was fit, he was handsome, he was strong. Now we go back to the original narration. Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, I had everything going for me. I was successful. I was a buzzing entrepreneur. I possibly was the Google and the Facebook of that day. Allah forgive us for using such filthy examples. But all I'm trying to say, that was a young person that just spurred into business and succeeded. Sahaba who were doing business for years couldn't match Ka'ab ibn Malik. This youngster says, the Nabi of Allah, against his habit, he commanded us that every Muslim, every mu'min, you have to attend this battle. This is in the 9th year of Hijri. Sahaba do not know that the Nabi of Allah has approximately 18 months, between 8 to 11 months left. They do not know this. They just know that the Nabi of Allah is being clear. If you're a mu'min and you're Muslim, you need to be in this ghazwa, in this battle. The Caesar of Rome, to give you the typography of the situation, they're coming down from the top. They decided that what they're going to do, they're going to come with such a large army, that they're simply going to not even fight, they're just going to walk over Medina and destroy Medina. This was their understanding. They thought, this is Medina, let's get rid of it. Sahaba were feeling a little bit overwhelmed with the situation. They reached the news, the Nabi of Allah said, listen, it was not my habit to tell you where we're going to do a battle. We call this counter-intelligence. You know, the Nabi of Allah was given permission to say, I'm going to fight here, but they were going to fight there. He told Sahaba, wala a'ni bighayr, and I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we're going to Tabuk. And we're not going anywhere else. Tabuk is a far journey, 400, 500 kilometers. Even if you have nothing, you attend this battle. Sahaba are going into a state. They're taking everything out of their houses. Wallah, there's so much lessons in this battle. I'll tell you the one narration, just as a diversion. We'll get back onto the highway just now, quickly, diversion. There was one Sahabi, even though Imam al-Zahabi said this narration is weak, he says this narration is weak only from one angle. Only from one angle. But at the end of the day, it's a narration of a Sahabi. So Imam al-Zahabi narrates in Sirah Alamun Nubala, there was a Sahabi, I forget his name. He was a friend of Abu Mu'allaq radiallahu anhu. And the Sahabi, his two legs were amputated. And this very Sahabi, he came to Masjid al-Nabawi and he told Sahaba, he told Umar radiallahu anhu, that I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, I should be in this battle. Umar radiallahu anhu said, the Nabi of Allah will give you permission, you don't need to be. So nevertheless, he did not reply, he went to a Jew. Like I say, there's a bit of weakness in the narration, but it will open our mind. He went to a Jew man and he asked the Jew man that, listen, I need some work. Because the Muslims are going out in a battle and I want to contribute. The Jew man told him, listen, I got a well from my house. For every leather bag of water you bring, I will give you one silver coin. He dragged his body from this house to this well 27 times. Water, carrying it, can't walk. When he got the little payment that he was given, very little, the Jew deceived him, gave him very little, said, ah, you're not worthy, just take this few money.
The narration goes, then Sirah Alam al-Nubala, he came to the door of Masjid al-Nabawi, and the Nabi of Allah said, go, 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 lift him up. Sahaba lifted him up, they brought him to the Nabi of Allah, his clothes were torn, his hands were bruised. The Nabi of Allah made an announcement, according to this narration, that everybody has given what they have given for jihad, but your little pennies you given is the reason Allah has given us fatah in this jihad. We don't know where our 50 cents will Allah will accept. Allah does not gauge quantity, Allah gauges quality. But I'm using this narration from a different angle. I'm using this narration to establish the proof, the serious nature of this. So serious was this battle, it was wajib. Sahaba getting together. Ka'b ibn Malik said, no problem. These people, they have to prepare because they're not in my league, in financial situation. I got the fastest horse, I got the red camel, I got the Ferrari. Let the Jamaat go. I'll catch up with them. Let the Jamaat go. They're going with a kumbi. They're moving with a taxi. Now I come with my Porsche later. They go 80 kilometers an hour. My thing maybe, mashallah, 80 kilometers in 10 seconds. Let them go with the kumbi. I'll come. But understand something. What happened? Why did he make ta'khur? Himself says it. He says, Shaitan put this thought in my mind. He diverted me from the asal good with another goodness. How many times Shaitan has done this to us? Told him, listen here, this battle, the people are going to suffer. You must just wait till your crop is ready. Cut your crop and use that sadaqah in the path of Allah. What a great thing that will be. We are here in this Islam age, Jama. For those who are not yet in the line of suluk and tarbiyah, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Waiting for tomorrow? Do you have a certificate from Allah that we have been given guarantee of life? Those who have muta'alliqeen, those who are connected to the mashayikh, keep your ta'alluq, do your islah. Those who are given instruction to do the work, don't wait for the day to become a wali of Allah. If your shaykh has given you instruction, do it. Allah will give you the power to do it. You will not be having the capacity. Do it. What are we waiting for? Ka'ab ibn Malik is a sahabi. He says, I made a good intention, no problem. I will cultivate my crops. My wife, mashallah, she had the fikr of deen. She started to tell me, listen, Ka'ab. The Nabi of Allah has left Friday, I'lan has made Jumu'ah, they have left. So he tells his wife, don't worry. You know, when we really want to convince the wife, then we can say. We just have to say it in that way, don't worry. Then we're done. Then we don't have to tell them, no, I'll come for the main majlis of Abdul Hamid, I'll come back at sleep at home, I'll come in the morning. Then I don't have to give all those hilas. You know, I'll be there for the last majlis before you get up, I'll bring necker, kusisters, or fish and chips for you. No. We just say, darling, don't worry. Now whether she understood that to be a future present coming, no. So that's all he tells his wife. Don't worry about me, I'll be there. It's a very lengthy narration, I don't have much time. Ka'b ibn Malik says, eventually the news reached me that the Nabi of Allah and the Sahaba had reached Tabuk. This battle was so important in the history of Islam. It's only the only battle that the Nabi of Allah called Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, write down the names of who is here and who is not here. Write name for name, we're going to sort this out. So Ka'b ibn Malik says, I found myself in Medina amongst the group of people known as Munafiqeen. And now, because Iman is in me, I begin to worry. But that comes to my next nasiha, first one. Ulama mentioned from this hadith, don't delay your intention for tawbah, don't delay your intention for goodness. If Allah brought you here today, don't wait for the program after Salatul Burr. If you have inclination, there's Mawlana sitting. He's Majaz, he's Shaykh in the door. Go now if you have love for him. If Big Papa is your Shaykh, then go. Don't wait, because by the time you reach Salatul Burr, the food will come, you will eat, you will feel lethargic, you will sleep, you will think that Islah is for next year. You will not get to there. Your intention of good will be overweight with more good. Muhaddithin have established entire books in hadith, Mubadaratul Khayrat, you hasten to good. Allah brought us here, make lakh shukr to Allah, that oh Allah, I was not deserving of being here. Millions of people can be involved in millions of things. Oh Allah, you have brought me to a gathering that you want me to rectify my heart. Oh Allah, give me that talab and the desire that I'm here. If there are mashayikh here, every talk there are mashayikh giving lectures except for the one before Mawlana Abdul Hamid tonight. Before that one tonight, other than that, all of them, you go. You go inshallah, you come inshallah, you make your niyyah, you move, and Allah Azza wa Jal will change your life. So nevertheless, he's in Medina Munawwara, he begins to fear for himself, and this comes to the second nasiha, is youngsters, don't ever be brave,
We do not know the effect of suhbah. We don't know what the company of the next person can do to our internal state. This we don't know. You know, the cell phone has Bluetooth transfer, but that's a bit too old for you. It has NFC. What's NFC? Musafaha. You just take the one phone and you touch the one phone. You don't even put the Bluetooth on. Before you had to put the Bluetooth on. Now you don't, you just touch the NFC. Near field communication. But I just know it. Don't make like we don't know it. And then you just touch the phone. And you just touch it and the whole image gets transferred. We'll just go and we'll make musafaha with the person who has the ghairullah in his heart. And we were not mindful at that time. And you will move away. And you will just be having this desire of ghairullah. In the very same way, I'm not saying we must overburden the mashayikh, but make it a point in this majma that we go and just make one musafaha with this ulama. But don't do the NFC, please just do the quick one on the end, please. If all of us have to do near field communication, the poor mashayikh will be finished. Make salam. We don't know what can transfer. I was a youngster, I was very young. I was a rascal in the house. I'm one of the twins. I have a twin, Maulana Hussain is here. Alhamdulillah, maybe things got a little bit right with him. I was a rascal when I was small. My father didn't know what to do with me. So Maulana Ibrahim Rahmatullah Ali's father was alive that time. We all know him as Hafiz Abdurrahman Mia, the great alim who made so many huffaz. My father, being a person of tasawuf, he took me. He took me one day. No bayan, no lecture. He took me, he said, we're going to go greet Sheikh Abba. And when I came, he said, all you must do, you must make salam. And he must just give one kiss on his hand and he must move. So I saw the people going there. He was a great wali of Allah. It's not a sunnah, we don't have to do it. But if sometimes your heart has this inclination out of other bits, says, I saw the first day, panting to myself, that old man, I was a youngster, please. That's wali of Allah. Old man, why is he kissing his hand? I went, I'll tell you specifically, I was young, I even knew the grade I was in. I came, the grade of Rizal, and kissed him. Something very strange happened. Within 6 weeks, I decided I want to go to the alim course. My father did not make my tashkil to become an alim. Neither did my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Rahmatullah Alayhi before I was connected to Alim. Neither did he tell me to become an alim. Just had this harara, and then Hazrat passed away, and then I was in my first alim. When he passed away, when I was at his janazah, I just looked at the janazah and I said, nope. I kissed his hand, Allah put it in my heart. After that, I need to go become an alim. We don't know what this Ahlullah can transfer with one touch. In the other side, we don't know the transfer of batil. We don't know what comes through the TV into the heart. We don't know what comes through on these applications. We don't know the effect of suhbah, both negative and positive. Ka'b ibn Malik was a sahabi of the Nabi of Allah. He went into a group. He went into a group of which munafiqeen. He just went to study. He knew they were munafiqeen. Many of us say, we know they're on batil. But he got a little bit overpowered. They told him, listen here. They gave him a qiyas. They gave him a rational discussion. They listen, when the Nabi of Allah comes, you must lie. You must lie. And when you lie to the Nabi of Allah and you give him a fake excuse, it is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after musafaha. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَكُمُ الْعَافِيَةِ May Allah forgive me and may Allah forgive you. The dua of the Nabi of Allah, this is not the Hazraji, this is the Nabi of Allah. Will Allah deny? No. So they're giving an analogy. You make a small sin or a large sin, the Nabi of Allah will make dua for your forgiveness and you'll be forgiven. And then you go, good, alhamdulillah. And Ka'ab ibn Malik said, I was fasihul kalam. I was very, very, very eloquent in my speech. He said, I prepared myself. I got my whole ideas together. The Nabi, I'm really rushing through this. The Nabi of Allah comes back to Medina Munawwara. One by one they go. He said, I come in Medina Munawwara. I start moving. I come to the Nabi of Allah. I sit by him. But Allah Ta'ala allowed me the fadl that my iman overpowered me at that time. How many of us got guarantee that our iman will overpower us when we are in evil company? Ka'ab ibn Malik says, O Nabi of Allah, we today as scholars of deen don't even have this level of fear of Allah that we will stick to the truth. Says, O Nabi of Allah, if I was in the court of a king, I would have deceived him. But you are the Nabi of Allah. You get wahi. You have brought iman to me. I will not lie to you. I did not attend this jihad simply because of the acquisition of wealth. Now understand something, the gravity of the situation is in this statement. If I have 8 minutes left, I don't have time to go further than this. The gravity of the situation is he did not lie, he did not commit a sin. Understand that he did not lie, he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. If it was us and our son spoke the truth, yes, I took the cookie from the jar, yes, I took the chocolate. We say, MashaAllah, my son is at least, he's acknowledging he's doing the sin. The Nabi of Allah does not reply to him. Allah speaks in the Quran, Khallafu. The Nabi of Allah puts him one side, does not reply. A few days ago, Ka'b ibn Malik says, I do not know my condition. The Nabi of Allah makes an announcement in Medina Munawwara that no Muslim in Medina, listen, no Muslim in Medina must make salam with Ka'b. Now our Shaykh tells us, do a little bit of this. Go tell the brother sorry because you made ghibat of him. Hey, this Shaykh is extreme. Yo, I got izzah and honor. My Nabi gave me izzah. Why must I go tell him I made ghibat? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going so extreme. Not one Sahabi must make salam to him. Imagine how you will feel. You have no human communication. He has his wife at home. 40 days elapsed. The Nabi of Allah sends a message with his cousin. That listen here. Ilhaqi ahlika bil bayt. Send and let this woman be connected back with their house. If it was you and I at that time, we become angry. We ask why. You know what he asks? He asks his cousin, go ask the Nabi of Allah, does he mean I must give talaq? لَأُطَلِّقُهُمْ Must I give talaq? If that is what the Nabi of Allah wants, I will do that. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, not talaq, let them just go. Because why? They're giving you comfort and support. Islah is not going to happen. Islah is not only sin. Islam is speaking the truth. But because a little bit of dunya affected his heart, little bit, his sahabi, Allah made a proclamation in the Quran, radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. The Nabi of Allah knows that it's ninth year of Hijri, the ayat is revealed. Allah's Nabi knows this man is going to be of Jannah. But this level of Islam speaking a little bit of the truth, because dunya had affected him a little bit. Extreme application. Now the 42nd day comes. His wife goes away. He narrates in the hadith, on the 41st day, I climbed the wall and I called my cousin. And I told my cousin, listen, I don't want anything from you. And I don't want you to, I just want you to nod your head. Do you still believe I'm in the state of Iman? And on the day of Qiyamah, if I die in this condition, will you bear testimony to Allah that I'm a Muslim? That concern of Iman, that concern of my tazkiyah, not the anger towards the Nabi of Allah. He said, I would go to the masjid and I would start my salah. This is not jais for us to do. This was done in a state of difficulty. And then when the Nabi of Allah would sit, I would peep in salah to see, is he looking at me? Okay, he's looking at me. Maybe he loves me. Maybe this is a state. 50 days elapse. The Nabi of Allah sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi. Sahaba are there. Coincidentally, the masjid is full. Jibreel alayhi salam comes revealing three ayat of the Quran. لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ right from the end. It's actually four ayat, but the fourth ayat is revealed separate, but connected to the three. And the Nabi of Allah says, go, Abshir al-Ka'b. Oh my Sahaba, go and give Ka'b radiallahu anhu glad tidings. Not like us, when we hear the man hit the big deal, then we feel it in our heart. Sahaba said they went into a hall. That one Sahabi said, I was the fastest person who could run in Medina Munawwara. I went into a hall for my brother. I just got up and I started to run. The next Sahabi says, Ista'adana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil faras. I took permission. Oh Nabi Allah, the horse. Nabi Allah said, go. I jumped on the horse and I said, I'm going to beat my brother. I'm going to give him the glad tidings. Abbas radiallahu anhu said, leave them. I got the voice. And I got into a hall. I stood on the door of Masjid al-Nabawi and I screamed, Ya Ka'b, they're coming, but I give you the bashara before them. The hal, the condition of them, the happiness they're going for their brother. They understood that the Nabi of Allah had no dislike to this person. They understood that this was tazkiyah, this was tarbiyah, and this is needed for every fard of this ummah. He comes to his house. Nevertheless, I won't give the answer who wins the competition, that you must ask the ulama. The first person comes to the house, knocks on the door. First thing he does, he greets Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Because remember, he couldn't make salam. Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he starts to shake. Subhanallah, I can actually reply to the salam of this man. He replies and he gives him the glad tidings. The Nabi of Allah is calling you. He takes off his thawb and he gives it to him as a hadiyah. He goes, he puts another thawb, another kurta on, and they start moving. They come in Masjid al-Nabawi. Sahaba sitting and start to make way for him. Nabi of Allah is in a state of happiness. Talha radiallahu anhu said, I didn't wait. I just got up and I gave him a hug. Shabash, you thank man. Allah reward you. You made it through. He said, I never forgot the ihsan of Talha radiallahu anhu until the day I die. I came to the Nabi of Allah. The Nabi of Allah recited these ayat. The ayat is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delayed the matter of these three people. These three sahaba, but I'm referring to the one, the main one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them. لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ. Allah had to perform the tawbah. Now this is the second mustadal, but this is for the ulama. This is the second dalil. That Allah wanted the tawbah to be done. One is for you just to simply want to do tawbah, and one is Allah does the tawbah on you. Allah opens the door of tawbah. Mulana Abdul Ma'id mentioned that yesterday, the mashayikh abab tawbah. So Allah mentioned, لِيَتُوبُوا, and mean I put him in this condition so that I was doing the tawbah, أَيَّتَذَكُّوا, to make his tazkiyah, لِيَتُوبُوا, so that he may repent back to me. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالتَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ continues. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu doesn't flinch an eye. Says, O Nabi of Allah, I hear the ayat that you are reciting. Amazing, ayat revealed in my name. But O Nabi of Allah, what about your heart? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah wa rasuluhu yuhibbuk. Allah and his messengers and them both love you. This was the level of tazkiyah applied, not for lying, for the opposite of lying, for speaking the truth, for showing courage. Because these spiritual illnesses are not a small thing. If they find a root in the heart, it will completely destroy. The ultimate result of every spiritual illness is the complete annihilation and obliteration of iman. That is what a spiritual illness is. No matter how small you see it, no matter how big you see it, the ultimate result of any spiritual illness is the complete annihilation, obliteration. You know in English what they say when something is obliterated? The original matter is destroyed and there is no trace of that matter. So when they dropped the atomic bomb in Hiroshima, it annihilated and obliterated the people. You couldn't even find the residue in the dust of those people. Spiritual illness will do that to your iman. It will destroy it. You will find the man who is going to the state of irtidad. He will leave iman. May Allah Azza wa Jalla save us. I don't have much time. The story is understood. The hadith is clear. It gives us the gravity of the attention we have to put into our zahir. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the understanding. May Allah reward the mashayikh for these majalis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pass the sawab and the noor of all these programs. Sahad al-Hakim sahab rahmatullah alayh to the sincere of our mashayikh. May Allah Azza wa Jalla pass the noor and the reward of all these majalis as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I have made a mistake, فَمِن نَفْسِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَالْتَ مِنَ اللَّهِ If I have said anything correct, بِسَمَ اللَّهُ عَزُّ وَزِلُ وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ خَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ